My guest at this time is Cal Thomas, the most widely syndicated columnist in the United States. In his latest column, Mr. Thomas warns that evangelical Christians are making a big mistake by getting so deeply entangled in day-to-day politics, to the point now where some conservatives and Christians in Alabama are ready to defend Roy Moore, even if he did molest a 14-year-old girl in 1979, by citing relationships with large age gaps in the Bible, including Mary and Joseph, or even comparing the offense to stealing a lawnmower. And Cal, thanks very much for being with us.
Delighted. Thanks for having me.
Well, you write that Democrats made this mistake earlier, decades ago, of allowing a political agenda to erode biblical principles, and now it's happening on the right. Why is this determination to win each micro-political fight so consuming to the point of defending almost anything?
Well, it's a distraction, and the first thing we learn about Satan in Scripture is not that he's evil, that comes later, but that he is subtle or crafty. And I think there's a lot of effort in this country to get evangelicals especially off their focus on Jesus of Nazareth and onto the kingdom of this world. Now, the argument now on this whole Roy Moore case in Alabama is, well, no matter if he did any of these things or not, it was 40 years ago. Why are these women coming forth now? And the answer to that question is, for the same reason that it took so long for some of the Harvey Weinstein people to come forward, or the Bill O'Reilly people to come forward, because these were young women, or in Moore's case, young girls, teenagers, and they were intimidated and frightened, either because the man held great power over themselves or their careers. So that's one answer. But the other thing is, you know, a lot of evangelicals who properly denounce the behavior of politicians like Gary Hart and Bill Clinton, saying that character matters, are happy to overlook it now for a political agenda when it comes to Roy Moore or even President Trump. The argument I'm getting on Facebook and other social media is, well, the Democrat opponent is pro-abortion, and you want to continue the murder of babies, and Judge Moore is pro-life. Well, I don't think that's the real issue. And even if Moore got elected, one more vote in the Senate is not going to stop the killing of babies in this country. The pregnancy centers and sharing the gospel with women for a changed life is what's going to change them, and that's the greater power.
About 40 years ago, evangelicals were prodded by Jerry Falwell and others to get more involved in politics because they were largely sitting on the sidelines. So what is the proper posture for evangelicals or people of any faith in the public square? What's the right balance?
Well, I'd be pretty arrogant to say that I had the corner on this, but you know, I was part of that movement. I was vice president of a Moral Majority. I was there. We thought we were going to organize conservative evangelicals and conservative Catholics and Orthodox Jews into a voting bloc that would give trickle-down morality from Washington. And it didn't work because none of that changes the human heart. The gospel of Jesus Christ changes human hearts. And when hearts are changed, nations are changed. That's the story of the revivals that have hit not only here in the United States, three of them, the last one in 1905, but also the revivals in England and throughout Europe, which is mostly secular now, of course. That's the life-changing message that we have. So, yes, we're commanded in Scripture to pray for those in authority. I told President Obama once when I met him that our congregation prays for him every week, and he thanked me. And I said, and God has put you where you are for his purposes. And he said he believes that. I think, as I say in my column, that there's a conceit among conservative evangelicals that God only pays attention when a Republican is elected. I mean, you can't defend that from Scripture. So I think the real danger is that we lose our first love, which is what Jesus accused the Church of Ephesus of doing in the book of Revelation. They took their eyes off of him. They were part of the emperor's cult of that time that worshipped Artemis, a false god. And too many of us are worshiping at the shrine of Washington politics, and especially the Republican Party. That is always bound to disappoint, as we've seen with a Republican majority in both houses of Congress and a supposed Republican in the White House that's not getting anything done.
Let me ask you a couple of questions about the media role in this. First of all, we're no longer waiting 24 hours from nightly newscast to nightly newscast. We have 24-hour cable channels and social media, so every story that comes up is immediately fodder for debate, discussion, and anger. So how much is that exacerbating our problem?
Oh, it's tremendous. I mean, you're right. I mean, it's minute by minute, second by second now. When I started out in the news business, the evening news was 15 minutes long. It went to 30 minutes eventually, and people worried whether there'd be enough news to cover on a 30-minute program. Well, that's laughable today in the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week news cycle. But yes, the media like combat, and they have these people on their programs who scream and disagree with each other. Nothing gets done. Every scandal, every allegation is elevated to the level of a national conversation, whether it's true or not, because it gets ratings. It's like a car wreck, and people rubberneck when they go by the cars that are tangled on the side of the road. Because and the evening newscast leads with the crime all the time. It's the old cliche: if it bleeds, it leads. And that gives a certain cynicism into our culture. But again, for the believer, this is not our home. This is not our kingdom. This is not where we're going to spend eternity. And the world is going in the direction that the scriptures forecast. These people who say we're going to make the world a better place. No, you're not. That's left up to Jesus when he returns. That's the only one. He's the only one who is going to make the world a better place, because he's going to restore it to the way it was. We're not going to be able to do that through the political system. But we should vote. We should pray for those in authority. But we shouldn't expect more for government than it can deliver.
Let me follow up on the point that you've made already to some extent, especially when you explain the pro-life folks who are still leaning towards Judge Moore. A lot of folks obviously see the media as looking to champion causes that would be antithetical to Christianity, whether it's changing who gets to use what bathrooms to who has to bake which cakes. And they feel like their beliefs, their faith is under assault from a media that is now pushing a story like this. So the instinct is to fight back. What advice would you have for them?
Well, the media, look, forget the media a minute. The faith has always been under assault from the beginning. I mean, right. Look what happened to Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, that's the ultimate assault, nailing somebody to a cross. The apostles were persecuted. The first century church was persecuted to the point of having to go into the catacombs. I've been in the catacombs of Rome. It's not a friendly place. A lot of them died there. So Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. And if they hated me, they'll hate you. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. This is normal. We should turn the other cheek. We should be respectful and kind to our enemies. We're to love our enemies, pray for those who persecute us, visit those in prison, care for widows and orphans, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. Not as a social gospel, as our friends on the left do, salvation by works, but as a means of demonstrating God's love for the physical self, so that you can share the greater message of their greater need, which is transformation, not reformation.
So love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself.
Indeed. I mean, if we obey the calling of Jesus and his instructions, this world will be turned upside down. People, the average unbeliever looks at believers today, and what do they see? We're against all kinds of stuff. We got a long, long list and a lengthening list of everything we're against. But what are we for? Who are we for? I mean, what you just said is the greatest evangelistic tool that Jesus ever gave us. But how many people actually apply it? Frankly, I think there ought to be a limit on Bible studies. You get 2 years to study the Bible, then you have to go out and apply it for the rest of your life.
Cal, we'll stop there. Thanks very much for your time, as always.
My pleasure.
Cal Thomas, the most widely syndicated columnist in the United States. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.